Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. It is Thursday, June the 5th, 2003. At this time, we have a quorum present. Yes, we do. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3231.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, House Bill 3231 would authorize the Department of Transportation to distribute fees collected from the issuance of identification cards by the DMV to the Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund. Currently, these fees are generating more revenue than the cost of issuance, so there's a balance available. When these fees were established in 2001, the fee level was anticipated to only recover the cost of issuance. So this balance has not been allocated to other ongoing programs at this time, so it's not shifting money from an existing program. It's simply transferring the surplus available. Mm-hmm. The Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund is in the governor's budget at about $32.1 million, some of which is general fund dollars. So the transfer of this money could either increase that available to the Special Transportation Fund or could supplant other funds that are already allocated to that fund. There is also a set of Dash 1 amendments before you that would make the bill effective July 1, 2003, rather than January 1, 2004, and would require the Department of Transportation to transfer any outstanding balance that's available from this biennium. Just a note on that, if Senate Bill 859 is enacted into law, and I believe it should because it was out of Special Session 6, it already took $2.8 million of the anticipated balance. So that provision of the amendment, it's only if there was a balance in excess of $2.8 million would there be any resources available. At this time, based on their transaction forecast, the department is anticipating that just over $3 million would be available to transfer in 2003-05.
Very good. Any questions about House Bill 3231? Senator Dukes?
It's not a question, it's a comment. This bill showed up somewhere, maybe it was during the last rebalance. I just remember looking at all of this before and thinking at the time and talking to some folks, I think the charge for this card is $26. And now we're dedicating any money over and above to senior and disabled transit. And I doubt there's anybody here who understands that senior and disabled transit normally doesn't pay for itself, but we're always up short on that. I'm just going to throw out for discussion, two more dollars raises a little bit of money, I think $500,000. Which would take us up to 28. I think it's for a really worthy cause. I don't think it's going to harm anyone. I don't know how we keep these programs running. They have to be heavily subsidized. There's no way otherwise to do it. That we've tied their tin can to a cigarette tax that the higher we, one of the early ones, so the higher we go on those taxes, the less revenue there is. And particularly, I know it used to think of it mostly in the rural areas, but I've discovered recently that it's a huge issue in the metropolitan areas as well. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Any discussion on the idea of adding a $2 additional charge to the fee? And that would also be on the renewal? Okay. So it would be $24 and $28.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Based on the last transaction forecast from DMV that they submitted yesterday, all of the transactions they're estimating for 2003-05 would be about 332 transactions for, so each dollar, assuming that the fee would not impact those willing to get ID cards. Each dollar increase would get you approximately $330,000. I don't know if the agency wants to speak to that at all. But
almost $700,000.
Bill then need to go back to revenue?
That was going to be my next question. No. Yeah, we have the authority to do it here.
I did sort of run this past people over the last month sporadically.
Well, so you're not part of the injury that we're hearing about it tonight.
Nah, I don't do injury.
Excuse me. Representative Hanson.
Yeah, Mr. I would concur that that's probably a good idea. One just minor point on our background statement. It lists current revenue to the fund includes a dedicated 2 cents of the state cigarette tax. Well, even that 2 cents, I believe, is it's only a partial of the 2 cents. I think that's divided between cities, counties, and special need transportation. So there's not, and we discussed that earlier in the discussions of special need transportation, the total lack of funding and. Or not total lack, but how dire the situation is. And I think probably any one of those things where anything will help. And we're basically taxing, this would be a fee increase that would be a revenue generation off of the base of people that are being served. I think there's a lot of, kind of my only concern is we're not really helping the class of people that need that service, but we're giving them another vehicle or another way to help them pay for the service. But I think we're talking about a fee on the base of people that we're serving, but the revenue is needed.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair Kirk. So is this money above and beyond what's already being supplied to the Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund?
You mean the SHIFT?
Correct.
Yes. Well, it's my understanding is right now this would be backfilling the cuts that were made as part of the earlier budget process.
So just a follow-up, Chair. So how much is currently, if we were to say no on this, on this House bill in its entirety, how much is already on a biannual basis going into the Elderly and Disabled Special Transportation Fund?
Mr. Chair, within the governor's budget, there's $32.1 million total funds allocated to the senior.
Just as a follow-up, with a yes on 3231, we're putting an additional $3 million on top of that, and then with that proposal, there's another $700,000 potential.
Mr. Chair. And Representative Smith, there is always the option, and I believe Ms. Jordan will bring forward proposals when you're talking about the ODOT budget in its entirety, that this either could be in addition to this program or you could supplant other resources that have already been allocated to this fund. For example, in the governor's budget, there's $7 million general fund allocated to the program. This could shift some of those resources away.
Find $3 million general fund.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you in that position today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I just wanted to clarify that this bill is here with the intent of substituting the general fund monies that were in the governor's balanced budget for senior disabled transportation with this ID card revenue. So there, when we bring the budget forward, we will be shifting general fund money back to the general fund and replacing it with this ID card revenue.
Well, Susie, before you go, I mean, literally, if I understood where the budgets were, those were reductions in that fund. And so what we're doing is we're bringing them back up if this happens. I mean, because they took the general fund. Am I understanding that correctly? Or
no, Mr. Chair, the senior disabled program has not had any reductions other than the there might have been a reduction as a result of the, I think, the fifth special session. If our revenues hadn't reached a certain level, they were going to take some of the tobacco tax money, but that didn't happen. So they have been whole throughout all of these processes.
So it wasn't general fund, because that was one of the things I heard earlier.
It will be.
It will be now.
It will be, yes. Dollars. And we are counting on this in the balancing of the budget. Yes.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. Just so I can complete the picture, what if House Bill 3231 does not pass? What would occur with that money?
The money would if House Bill 2030, whatever that number is, doesn't pass,
3231.
Then the money would just end up in the agency's ending balance. It's because they're not reducing the fee.
Senator Dukes?
So, where a moment ago we were thinking this is putting $3 million more into senior disabled transit, it's not. Is that correct?
Well, what the Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, what the agency has left in general fund to replace here is $2.5 million. So there is half a million to, if you increase the fee, to another $1 million that you could increase the limitation by anticipating passage of.
So if we raise the fee another couple dollars, we keep them whole.
We'll still be adding that.
No?
That's in addition.
I mean, you said, isn't it $3 million right now?
Currently at $26 an ID card.
And,
mm-hmm.
And
we're
going to pull
2.5 of that.
Okay. Oh, and the agency
has everything else covered with other.
So that it would stay at 2.5. So that even if we do this, it'll be whole.
Yes.
Yeah,
and then we have the opportunity of maybe raising some.
Correct. If you raise it, then you then you can add two.
Well, I saw a head nodding out there, no. And so let's get a response to that. Identify yourself and tell us your background.
Senator George, I'm the program coordinator for senior transportation at Seniors and People with Disability Services. And I also oversee transportation for people with developmental disabilities. Even if you add the $2 addition, right now there's language pending in the cigarette tax bill that will add a reduction to pay for the police activity and the, basically the senior trooper activity. I can't tell you the specifics. To pay for their cost related to stopping illegal traffic. With related to
You're talking about the tax collection
right,
issue.
Right. So that will reduce our collections from the cigarette tax further. So as far as I'm concerned, any extra money that the seniors receive for transportation will be helpful. I'd also like to say on behalf of the seniors, you know, a lot of these seniors programs live on a shoestring. They many of their programs are done by volunteers. They charge as little in some areas as $2 a gallon, basically for routes. And I guess that's it. Thank you.
Could you stay right there? Come on, let's make sure we understand this issue. Oh, we had her name. Would you state your name again for the record?
My name is Sue Stoner.
Sue Stoner.
Good morning, Chair George, committee members. My name is Martin Loring. I'm the administrator of the Public Transit Division within the Oregon Department of Transportation. Let me start off with the obvious. Money is a good thing. It buys rides. Where we are today, the $32 million in the governor's budget includes the special transportation fund that would receive these funds if you approve House Bill 3231, that currently is about $9 million of cigarette tax dollars. In terms of the special sessions, what Ms. Jordan told you was absolutely correct with respect to the special session 6, Senate Bill 862 proposal. That involved an estimated $1.8 million that would have been lost if the forecast was bad enough. It wasn't bad enough. We didn't lose it. We received the check for the 3 months that had been withheld the other day. The one other piece of business is, in, you remember there were quite a few special sessions. In one or two...
Oh, yeah, we remember.
Only too well, I'm sure, Chair George. In special session one or two, the Special Transportation Fund did lose $954,000. So we're down just under $1 million from the prior biennium.
Well, is this shift to try to collect the evaded taxes on cigarettes, is that actually going to occur? Will it affect this account?
Chair George, committee members, I don't know the answer to that. This is news to me, and I simply don't have that information. We certainly could research it.
Were you going to... Yep. Oh, Senator Carter, and then we'll go to Senator...
Can you tell me how much we're down? How much disabled services are down? You say we lost $954 million, then we got some money from the tobacco, one point something from tobacco. Are we down at all or we're up?
Chair George, Senator Carter, it was $954,000, not $954 million.
I said $1,000.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misheard.
Yes,
You said million.
Come
did
on.
Did I? Put around here, a million, a billion.
They're just zeros.
It's either 500,000.
I know they don't have that or 10 million. So my point is, I thought I said 1,000. That's right.
That's an old joke around.
Moving on.
We are down the 954,000 we lost in the first or second special session, and we're down the April. We're down a little bit due to reduced cigarette sales. The payment we got for February, March, April was about just under 300,000 less than we thought it would be, because more Oregonians are doing the right thing and smoking less, which produces revenue.
I've got real mixed feelings on this from a couple things now. And mostly it's kind of the overall state strategy in terms of how we're dealing with services to the senior and disabled population. I think we're not being real consistent. In effect, this bill is asking people that need these special licenses, and a lot of times that's elderly people that have stopped driving that still need ID, disabled people that physically aren't capable of driving but need the piece of ID. So the extra revenue beyond the department's cost is coming from the base of people that we're supporting, and I can accept that. The inconsistency is on the deferred tax program that again is deferring taxes to roughly the same class of people, and is producing a profit because the interest rate is higher than current market rate. We're transferring money from the Department of Revenue from the deferred tax program to the general fund instead of putting it into Project Independence or into programs that serve the elderly. On this one, now, to move this to enhance programs, I think it is a fine idea, and I'd even support an increase to do that. But when we're doing it to supplement general fund dollars that historically we've given, I think we're in effect taxing probably some of the most needy people in our society that we're supposed to be supporting. And it seems to me if we're going to use revenue that they generate to support their program, then we should be consistent and be doing the same thing with the deferred property tax fund, which isn't in this committee. It's another issue completely, but I think our overall budget strategy should be consistent.
Well, there's only one problem with that, and every day I have to listen to the word stability. We need a stable funding source. To me, this is going to be a much more stable than having the target painted on you saying, I get general funds for senior disabled. Would you speak to that? I see you nodding your head in agreement.
Chair George, committee members, that is an excellent point the chair has made. We, of course, as between the same or less money and more money, we would prefer more money, and there's plenty of demand, plenty of need to meet, but this is a more stable source, a more diversified source, and it does help with planning and budgeting for the local agencies that ultimately spend this money to deliver the service to people in need. So even if it's no more money, it's a useful change, and we applaud the legislature's efforts to help us in this regard.
I'd like to add one thing, Representative Hansen. The two extra dollars that are paid a year probably would not be a problem for many seniors, given that they receive a lot of rides in return. It would probably be much cheaper for them to pay those two extra dollars a year than to lose those rides. You're talking about the seniors that have the most significant disabilities that obtain those rides. So it's much more expensive to obtain any kind of transportation for them, and this is the best way to get that transportation into the community.
We're waiting for a person who may make a motion. I would just like to say that over the years that I've been here, if I were to sit back and say, what do I think I get the biggest bang for with state dollars? I always come back and say you probably get the biggest bang for your dollar in senior disabled transportation. I really think that that has been amazing what's been accomplished with a little bit of money. Okay, I'm through yakking now. You can come. You're back here. All right, what is the pleasure of the committee relative to this? I mean, did that help to clarify? Because I think the stability issue is a major issue.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I'm still in a making up my mind mode, but I think to move things along, I'd certainly move the amendments to speed the transfer date up to July 103. That would be appropriate.
Okay, let's get that done. That's a great idea. So we have motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3231. Is there any objection to that? If not, so move.
I don't like
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I'm going to move that we increase the initial fee. It's currently $26 for these identification cards to $29, and the renewal fee from $22 to $25.
Okay. We have a motion to increase the initial fee to $29 from its current $26 and the renewal from $22 to $25. Discussion on motion.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
That will put roughly $1 million into this senior and disabled transportation system that is pretty stable revenue actually give people who, I mean, this is, it's fixed route, it's dial a ride depending upon where you live, and it honestly gets people out of their homes who otherwise would not be able to get out. It gets people to be able to get out and buy groceries, to, you know, get their medications and all those kinds of things. And we've watched it dwindle, and we've watched it jeopardized. And this would, I don't think this harms anyone, and it gives us a little bit more stable revenue for a very vulnerable population.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
And colleagues, I should say. One of the most heartbreaking things for me when I was president and CEO of my organization was the human conditions of our seniors. And we have had at the Urban League a senior disabled program. We were in such shambles that Safeway had to come help rescue our need for providing more services to our seniors and taking them to the grocery store, taking them to the doctor, taking them for an outing, because we just don't have the money for even our community programs, let alone some of the more state-supported programs of transportation. So this will not only help the state's program, but also community programs as well. And I'm telling you, just for some of those people to get a chance to get them behind the darkened windows of their lives and go to the grocery store and have the kind of help that they need would be a welcome to many of them. So I'm hoping that we will understand that this is not just about raising dollars. This is about helping the human condition of many of our senior disabled people.
Gene Krieger.
George, I would like to have some discussion before all of a sudden walking in the room, here's a fee increase, if someone knew they were going to do it. As far as the need, you can go into rural Oregon, where I'm from, where they've discontinued some service because they just don't have the money, and you're talking one hospital is 80 miles to the next one, 30 miles to the nearest clinic of any type. So, hey, it does serve a great purpose, and nobody would argue that. I might argue the point that we haven't even gone far enough yet, but hesitant to go further until I had a larger discussion regarding the issue, so I'm not going to oppose it.
You're not going to oppose it? Okay. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chair George. I'm very concerned that we're going to raise these fees with the expectation this money is going to go towards elderly and disabled special transportation needs, and we're going to vote yes, and we're going to pass this, and then we're going to come and take that money right back out and put those dollars elsewhere. And We all know the need for this. We all know the need. But I think this is part of a bigger picture, and I think it'd be very wise for us to know how this plays into that bigger picture and to know what the co-chairs and leadership would intend to do with this newly found $1 million. And so
that's the value.
I guess until I have an answer to that, I guess I'm going to withhold my vote.
That's a valuable point, but there's also something in this building called politics. And if this committee should grant these dollars with the assumption that there's only a certain amount of general fund that's going to go away, and so this is actually an increase in the amount going to the fund, and that should change, I could just see consequences of that going on for a long time. So I don't know that that would occur. And you guys, you know how I am an anti-fee increase, anti-tax person, but there's sometimes when you say this is a reasonable thing to do, and the stability of this, because this fund has bothered me more than I think anything else relative to senior disabled transportation. And Marilyn Shannon and Senator Dukes and us, we've worked on this ever since we've been on transportation. And we even had a bill. I was just trying to remember exact details on that was going to do something like this in order to try and achieve some money we got rained on. But right now, I think it's doable. And with that in mind...
Mr. Chair, can I...
Yes.
Two things. One, early on, this would have been when we were doing the sixth rebalance. I did, and Senator Carter and I started talking about this in committee one day, and I did run it past Senator Schrader. It was general, but I did run it past him. He didn't have any objections at that point. And I am reminded by staff that we put the expenditure limitation in the budget for this. And we have the ability to not put the expenditure limitation in anything else to transfer the money over.
I guess the message I heard was the rationale for doing this was one for future stability, but was also to back those dollars right back out. And I guess I understand the politics and what's that? Push these dollars back out.
Chair, members of the committee, I'm sorry. $2.5 million in general fund is going to be replaced with some of the revenue from this fund. But there's still, at the current rate, there's still $500,000 that isn't being replaced. And with an increase, there would be those additional dollars. What you would have to do as a committee then is increase the limitation in public transit for senior disabled transportation to capture all of those dollars in their budget so it doesn't go elsewhere.
So,
or to an ending balance, which is where it would go if it's not going to be, if they don't get a limitation for it.
So just so I... Certainly. So what is the what handcuffs do we have on the co-chairs from taking this additional $1 million for other purposes? What's going to stop them? We talked politics.
Vote now in a press conference.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have not heard the co-chairs claim this money for any other place in the budget, and up to this day, and since they haven't so far, I don't think that they will. It's not going to solve the bigger issue. This is very small dollars compared to the billions that they're trying to deal with.
Representative Hanson.
As I understand it, and I think Representative Smith, your concerns are valid in terms of the co-chair's ability to move and direct general fund dollars is certainly available to them. We're not creating new general fund dollars. We're creating a fee increase that will specifically, by the direction of this committee, specifically be put into a transportation fund. Anything that would change with that, and certainly co-chairs could propose changing, but anything that would change that set of circumstances would have to be approved by this committee. And I don't think that's going to happen. So in terms of general fund dollars being in jeopardy, certainly they can be, but this is is money that we're raising, and with this piece of legislation being directed to a specific fund that would require this committee or legislative approval to move it out of that specific fund. So I think we've got plenty of control over where those dollars would end up.
Okay, so I'm taking from that you're on board. This will raise in about an additional $1 million, just short, a few dollars short. Okay, you guys, would you like me to call a roll, or I can just do it without objection? Do we have any objections?
I'm sorry, I haven't heard from my co-chair, and until I know what his plan is, I tend to be a no vote.
Okay, we will be meeting on that this afternoon. I think what it would be is just a point of us negotiating, as Representative Hansen said, with them to make sure that the dollars stay there.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
That's the only objection.
Say again?
That's the only objection. He's not objecting. He's
right.
With his service. So the motion is passed, is that not right?
What, yeah, the motion.
Oh, I just want to see you gavel.
You just want me to moving right along. Motion is passed. And that was for an additional, that'll be $29 for the initial fee, and that was the motion, correct, and for $25 on the renewal. Okay. We need to move the bill.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 3231 as amended to full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Dukes moves House Bill 3231 as amended to the committee with a due pass. Any further discussion? If not, without objection. So moved.
Carriers.
You better carry this.
I'll carry it. You need a house, though.
Yes. Representative Hansen?
Oh, fine.
Okay.
We got 31 votes for the fair bill, so this ought to be easier.
Yeah. And I was there, and I was thinking, you wouldn't have had 31 if I hadn't been there. All right. Maybe I cost you votes. Who knows? I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3231. And you're ready to reopen 5056 session? Very good. Okay, we'll reopen the work session on House Bill 5056, Department of Transportation Budget Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Today we are going to work some golden rod copies. This indicates that there have been some minor tweaking of numbers. So that you're all working on the same page here. And we are going to, we've talked maintenance, and we will continue to skip that one until we get approval from the co-chairs on the budget notes. We were on preservation. We had talked through that. We were ready to take a motion to approve the policy packages and LFO package number 6. 5 and 6.
What page are we on here?
They're not numbered.
I apologize.
It's the third one in.
Three pages in.
Three pages in.
They are.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yes, we are. It's when you
get it. What page, Mr. Chairman?
You're on the preservation page.
Preservation page is three pages in. What am I, one behind?
This is a different color so I can distinguish it from the last page.
Yes. Okay. It's a different color because I've made some modifications, minor tweaking.
That seems to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow. Or the next time it'll be pink. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, my.
Right now we're trying to get
in toe for in trouble.
Well.
What was the package number?
The package, we're on preservation. Mm-hmm. There are three policy packages. Policy Package 100, the Transportation Investment Act, OTIA. This is moving the $36 million into their budget to proceed with those preservation projects. Policy Package 101, which is adding a person in the field for access management, and Policy Package 490, the Sylvan Maintenance Station. You may want to take them one at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
Just as we go through this, 101 pops up in a number of different areas, And I'd like a sheet that shows exactly what all is in 101, sort of a cumulative thing.
Okay. There are. I can tell you today that there were 14 positions, and we. I'm recommending one in each region, so there will be five, and you will see them in preservation, bridge, safety.
Is it broken down then, Mr. Chair, to
operations.
So that one FTE gets split between several different areas because they're dealing with access management for preservation and for modernization?
That's correct. There'll be one in each region. They will the FTE, the person will work on all of those, you know, all of the highway issues. The limitation just shows up in each of the program areas, so they are split.
Okay, because every time I see it, I keep thinking we've got a few more, and we don't. We're just dividing up how they get paid.
That's right, out of which limitation they're getting paid.
Thank you.
So, how would you like to do this, Mr. Chair? Would you like to do it one?
Are we okay now on a 101, but we can go back to 100 and get approval. Let's just walk down through it. I think that'd be the best thing.
Then you'll need a motion on policy package 100.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt policy package 100.
Okay.
For preservation.
For preservation.
Yes. Policy package 100 under preservation. Is there any further discussion without objection?
Mr. Chair, I'll move we approve policy package 101, the access management for preservation.
Okay, policy package 101 under preservation for the access management. Any further discussion? Any questions about that? If not, without objection. So, oops, drop it, make a lot of noise.
You're going to have to go someplace else for a motion on the next one.
Okay.
Policy package 490 is transferring money from preservation program to the capital construction program for a new facility at the Sylvan Maintenance Station.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
So moved?
So moved.
Thank you. Any further discussion? We've had quite a bit of discussion on this issue. Some of us have serious heartburn.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Dukes.
I guess I just figured that we're probably not going to move this package right away.
Correct.
And my heartburn is serious enough that I'd like to let it sit. I mean, it's one of those I wish it would go away, but it's not going to go away, so I don't know where I'm going to end up. I know that I'd like to be a no, and on this motion I'll be a no. I don't know where I end up ultimately. We're in such bad shape, and the roads and bridges are in such bad shape, and we're being held hostage by a community here, and that irritates me a lot.
Senator Morris.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bruce.
Bruce, can we get you to come on up? Senator Carter, if you could draw the motion on that so we can so junk and have time to answer.
Sure.
I don't know if it's just me. I'd like to hear what Morris has to say.
Mr. Chairman.
Let's just wait on that.
Okay.
I believe the chairman, I believe yesterday's testimony indicated that there had been some time lapse in implementing this project from the time that it was supposedly directed. What are the consequences if we just push this off into the next biennium? I mean, do they have any recourse or consequence? Because I agree with the comments of Senator Hoon. There's some things that we need to do and some things that are nice to do. If this is just for aesthetics only, if we could postpone it, that would be my preference.
Chair George, Senator Morris, I don't believe there are any specific penalties. I would have to go back and look. This was part of the original land use approval that was done a number of years ago. We have done portions of of what we were required to do. This would finish up our land use application, essentially. I don't believe there are any serious penalties other than sort of the good neighbor. You know, we said to the neighborhood we would do these things over a period of time. It's been a while, so is anyone grousing at us particularly? No. So we probably could delay it if necessary.
That clarifies
for me. Could I get you two to state your name?
John Rosenberger, Highway Deputy.
Bruce Warner, Director of the Department of Transportation.
Representative Krieger?
Mr. Chair, what were the additional costs because of the city's mandates? I don't remember the figure. There were additional costs in order to meet their standards of landscaping and that?
Chair George, Representative Krieger, I will have to get those for you. This was done a number of years ago as part of the widening of Highway 26 and the rebuild of the Sylvan Interchange. We had to relocate portions of the Sylvan Maintenance Station, which was at that corner. It's to the southwest corner of that intersection. As part of that, it required a land use approval from, I believe, the Multnomah County, and there were some conditions placed on us to do certain things. We have done that over a period of time. This would just finish that up. I would have to get back to you with the actual what those costs associated were.
Representative Hanson?
Well, certainly this can use more discussion, and there may be some ways to economize on some of it, and I don't have a problem with that. There are some kind of peculiarities involved in that particular site. That's a heavy-duty industrial-type usage in the middle of a commercial residential zone. Certainly the dollar amounts appear large. On the other hand, if we were building an ODOT office or an ODOT maintenance station in a small community, I would imagine we'd meet like the landscape obligations of that small community. If it was on the main street in a small town in Oregon, we'd do what it needed to do in order to fit into that community. Here it's a pretty big facility in a very visible, very high-profile location. The other one that, and I'm not sure on this, but I think if we go back and examine it, because I'm fairly familiar with some of the land use things that Multnomah County has to do in the West Hills, that feeds into the Phantom Creek watershed. And there's a great deal of erosion, and it's a hillside location, and there's a great deal of erosion and hillside constraints on sites that are in that area. And we've required all the other landowners that are operating in those types of situations to spend a lot of money on erosion control and making sure that it's not impacting the community's watershed. My guess is on a lot of the landscape requirements, they're not just for beautification, but they're also for erosion control and some other issues. And there's a certain point where, and I don't care if this applies to Portland or Ontario or halfway or any place else, if the state of Oregon is operating in a local community, they ought to meet the standards of that local community. And if we've committed to go forward on a project and meet those conditions, I think we've got an obligation that we should. Now there might be a possibility in terms of revisiting it and how you schedule and how you phase it in, and that might save us a buck or two now in this biennium, and I'm fine with that. But I think overall, meeting obligations that have been made in good faith are something that the state of Oregon should really take very, very seriously.
Senator George, members of the committee, one other thing I would add. We just released the bid for the last phase of the Sylvan project, and so the timing works very well to kind of get all of this sort of finished over the next couple of years. So that was one of the reasons we brought it forward now.
Well,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I guess I would just like to also comment that this has been hanging around for a long time. And again, it's been on again, off again because of budget issues and the need to put money into pavements and bridges and other things. And I agree with Representative Hansen. This is one of those ones that we should step up and get off the books and move on and complete the whole West Side Corridor, which we're trying to do, and I hope we can get that all completed in the next few years. So I would encourage you to consider that in this, and I think the county and the city have been very patient in working with us to date.
Senator Morris?
Maybe there's a compromise, Mr. Chairman. We budget $500,000 and keep doing over a longer period of time as opposed to putting $2.5 million. $2.5 million still just boggles my mind to put in that facility. But
what's your current investment in it?
Senator George, members of the committee, I would have to go back and check. We have done a significant rebuilding over the last probably 7 to 10 years as part of the project. I could get you that number.
Chair, I have a suggestion that we pass over this item until we can get agreement.
I've already asked Senator Carter if she would withdraw the motion.
Okay.
Senator Dukes, before we do that,
for the agency, could you take a look at this project and see if it's possible to break it into two pieces? And maybe we could budget one piece.
Mr. Chair,
and maybe that will make it perfectly obvious to us that it doesn't break up. I mean, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Will do, Mr. Chairman. Senator,
thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if the intent is to bring it back after we will have heard from them in terms of whether we can break it up into twos, and I'm more than willing to withdraw my motion, but I have to know that we intend.
It's going to come back.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. With that, Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my motion for policy package number 490.
Thank you, Senator, very much. We're right now going to consider LFO 1 through 6.
We've already adopted the compensation freeze. Item number 5 is the vacant position adjustment, eliminating 4 positions. Vacant positions.
Mm-hmm. Vacant positions. So all right. So moved without objection. Whoops. Hang on.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. On all of these, because my memory is about that long, I'm going to ask the same question. What do these positions do, or did do, or... we thought what they were going to do or something once upon a time?
Mr. Chair, these are engineering specialist positions doing a variety of support to the preservation program work. Out of all of the construction programs, there are about 30 FTE that are on the vacant position reduction list. And of those, about 6 of them are engineering-type positions. The rest are student engineers, seasonals, and a handful of clericals. Does that help?
Yep, absolutely, Mr. Chair. I'm one of these people who still isn't convinced that we don't have too many engineers in ODOT, considering all the design build we've been moving to. Mm-hmm. That's a discussion the agency and I have an ongoing piece of, so I'm fine.
Okay. Then we are in LFO 5.
Did we have...
Mr. Chair, I would move it?
Yep.
Okay.
I was just about to say without objection, without objection, so moved.
Thank you. We've adopted LFO, or item number 6, number 7, and number 8. Number 9 is other technical adjustments. This is the last item. It's LFO number 6, but item number 9.
Item number 9.
Abolishes one position, reclassifies a program technician 2 to an engineering specialist, a net reduction of a half FTE and $76,756. And the very technical, reducing 3 positions and expenditure limitation to reconcile the position information system to the budget information system. It's just so the two systems are talking with the same numbers. This just cleans up the budget. The abolishing and reclassification is part of the department's plan to shore up their construction program for OTIA and getting their contracts out the door.
So moved. Item number 9, LFO number 6. Any further discussion? If not, without objection.
Okay. Next one is bridge. You'll have to go two pages. These two pages are backup data showing how the calculations got made for your information. And we're going to skip the bridge program for now because there are some issues still pending on the bridge programming packages of them, the transportation funding package. Moving to highway safety, policy package 101. This is a highway access position similar to the one you approved in preservation. This is one that goes out in the region.
Policy package 101 under highway safety.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt policy package 101 safety.
Okay. 101 safety. Is there any further discussion or questions about policy package 101? Without objection.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, package LFO package 1 is already been adopted. There are no vacant positions in this program. Package LFO package 3 and 4 and 5 have all been adopted. There's no DAS assessment in package 5. LFO 6 is the position adjustment to abolish two positions, a half FTE and $33,030, and reduce $1,381 to reconcile the picks to orbits.
Mr. Chair, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
How do you get two positions and only a half an FTE?
They're part-time, seasonal.
Really part-time?
Yes. You only work months.
Okay. Oh, and Mr. Chair, I'll move adoption of package or LFO recommendation 006, technical adjustment to safety.
LFO 6 has been moved. Are there any questions or comments? If not, without objection.
Moving along to highway operations. Two more pages. Package 101 is access management. This is one of the positions for, this is the third of five positions for access management.
Mr. Chair, I'll move policy package 101, access management for highway operations.
Okay. Policy package 101 under highway operations. Any questions or comments? If not, without objection. So.
Package 472 is intelligent transportation systems coordinator to shift services and supplies limitation to the central services program to help pay for adding an information specialist position to maintain ITS devices in Region 5. I'm recommending that we shift the $85,891 in limitation, but not to adding a position.
Mr. Chair, I'll move adoption of LFO package, no, policy package, course, LFO's recommendation on policy package 472. Get that out.
Any questions about policy package 472 under highway operations? If not, without objection. Did you have a question? Oh, okay. I'm so moved. Remember those cows I bought by moving my hand.
Item number 3, LFO package 1, has already been adopted. Item number 4, LFO 2, vacant position adjustment. This reduces two vacant positions, reducing their budget by $255,845.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
And those two people, positions would do what if we had them?
Mr. Chair. That one I'm going to have to look up. These are engineering specialists that support the engineering work and operations.
Chair, okay. I'll move LFO 2 recommendation under highway operations.
LFO 2 under highway operations has been moved. Is there any further discussion or questions, comments? Without objection. So moved.
Item number 5, LFO package 3, the inflation adjustment has already been approved. Item number 6, the LFO package attorney general rate reduction has also been approved. There are no DAS assessment reductions in this program area. Item number 8, LFO package number 6, is position adjustments. We're abolishing 5 positions, 1.25 FTE and $82,575, and reclassifying an office coordinator to an office specialist with no step increase.
Mr. Chair, you're getting really tired of me.
No,
this
no,
is a big question.
No, that's what we're here for. You ask the question.
Those 5 positions would do what if we kept them?
These are seasonal positions.
Oh. And what would they do?
They would have if the department needed them. These are positions that the Mr. Chair, Senator, these are positions that the department had set aside to fund their financing package, and so they had already determined that they did not need these positions.
Okay, then I guess we'll trust them. I hope they meant that. I'll move LFO 6 for Highway Operations, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes has moved LFO 6 under Highway Operations. Are there any questions or comments about that? If not, without objection.
Mr. Chair, we're going to move on then to Highway Modernization.
Modernization, next year's unit, 3 pages over.
Policy Package 100 is the modernization portion of the Transportation Investment Act, $66,378,072, and I recommend approval.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Policy Package 100 under Highway Modernization.
Senator Dukes has moved Policy Package 100 under Highway Modernization. Are there any questions about the package? If not, without objection, so moved.
Policy Package 101 is the 4th position of 5 in access management.
Mr. Chair, I'll move adoption Policy Package 101 under Highway Modernization.
Policy Package 101 under Highway Modernization has been moved by Senator Dukes. Are there any questions or any comments about that? If not, without objection.
Item number 3, LFO 1 compensation freeze has already been adopted. Item number 4, LFO Package 2, vacant position adjustment. This reduces the budget by 4.75 FTE, $98,140. 11 of those positions, there are 11 positions that are student engineers, and they're all budgeted at 0.25 biennium. And then there are 2, yes, engineering specialists, 3, and an associate transportation engineer.
I'll move adoption of LFO Recommendation 2 for Highway Modernization.
Senator Dukes has moved LFO Recommendation Number 2 under Highway Modernization. Any questions about that or comments? If not, without objection, so moved.
I would also add that we've shifted $317,179 to temporaries and professional services in that adjustment. Let's see. Item number 5, LFO 3, inflation adjustment, has already been approved. Item number 6, LFO 4, is attorney general rate. That's also been approved. There's no DAS assessment. Other technical adjustments in this program area are reducing 3 positions to reconcile to the personnel information system. Yes, please.
I'll move LFO recommendation number 6 under Highway Modernization.
LFO Recommendation Number 6 under Highway Modernization been moved by Senator Dukes. Any questions about that? If not, without objection, so moved.
We'll move on to Highway Special Programs. The first package is the Transportation Investment Act, reauthorizing 2 contract coordinator positions to complete the Transportation Improvement Act personal service contracts at $135,489 and 1.25 FTE. This is part 1 of Policy Package 100 in this program.
Pieces.
You want to do, yeah.
Together?
I can do them together. The department has since asked or requested an increase in months on the two limited duration positions and adding an additional two limited duration contract coordinator positions to complete the Transportation Investment Act personal services contract at a cost of $293,916 and 2.75 FTE. And I recommend approval of the whole package.
Item number one and number two under Policy Package 100.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'll move then that we adopt number one and two under Policy Package 100 for highway special programs.
You've heard the motion without question, comments, without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Package 101 is access management to add one transportation engineer. This one is not recommended in the access management program.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the LFO recommendation. Do we do that? Do we just ignore it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For LFO recommendation on Policy Package 101, Highway Special Programs.
Okay, Policy Package 101 under Highway Special Programs. Any questions or comments? Without objection? So moved.
Package 102 is a reclassification of a program tech 2 to a principal contributor 1 and an administrative specialist 1 to a program technician 1. The department proposed to shift $6,878 from services and supplies to fund the classification upgrade. The DAS HRMD review concurred with the action. LFO recommends the reclassification without a step increase, reducing their budget by $6,878.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Policy Package 102, the LFO recommendation.
You heard the motion. Any questions or comments about Policy Package 102? Without objection? So moved.
Policy Package 104 is labeled alternative delivery to add four positions beginning in September 2003, classified at the PEMD salary level 31 level to lead and oversee all activities. The department has since changed their request to ask for three program technician twos at 2.92 FTE with a corresponding reduction. I'm recommending approval of that with along with their reductions in vacant positions of $391,315, which was reduced from $537,243 and 0.75 FTE reduction.
Any questions about Policy Package 104?
Mr. Chair, I'll move adoption of the LFO recommendation on Policy Package 104, Highway Special Programs.
Item number five, Policy Package 104 under Highway Special Programs. Any questions, comments, without objection?
Mr. Chair, before we go on, can I ask a question?
Certainly.
Yesterday, on the access management things, I'd asked the agency, and I only remember one of the two things I asked, which is real good. But if we're going to put a person out in each of the regions who's dedicated to, I remember the second one, who's dedicated to access management, and that's what they do, I wanted to know if we had the volume, what the applications were to justify an additional person out in each region, and whether or not they would have the authority to sign off on that access.
And the second piece of that, Senator, was that they would take the request that Senator George had and use that as a profile.
That's right. And I think they agreed to that one yesterday, that they were going to get back information on the other. And we've been happily moving along here, putting these people in the regions, and it just occurred to me that it might be good to get that follow-up.
Mr. Chair, and the committee, the department did give me responses to those questions yesterday.
Kick me or something. See, you wouldn't know what to do with that piece of paper if somebody hadn't remembered.
More paper for it would be a packet.
Somewhere in the packet is the answer to that question.
You didn't know if you'd ask such a good depth.
Is access management? And five and six.
Yeah. Should we take a few minutes just to glance down?
This doesn't answer what I asked, Mr. Chair. Well, not six doesn't. Now, maybe there's another one in here that does.
Number four is provide the number of people, the number of applications associated with access management.
First request.
The administrative rule which governs access management assigns the principal responsibility for access management decisions to region managers. This authority is authorized by the rule to be delegated to other staff. But you want them directly having to answer to the region staff. Is that what your point was?
Mr. Chair, I'm hoping that if we're going to put them out in the region to work on this, that we're going to give them the authority to be able to make to sign off.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I had a conversation with Matt Garrett before the subcommittee meeting about that issue. He assures me that these people at the table will make the decision. They are the decision makers. But if the decision is no, then they have to go back to the regional engineer and sometimes on up to Bruce Warner to get the issue resolved.
That's fine, but if it's yes, can they sign the little piece of paper?
That's what my understanding was, yes. Mm.
John's saying yes.
Let the record show that all the heads are nodding. Yes.
Right. Right. Okay. I still don't know if there's a need for it, but sure, why not?
Okay, we are on.
There's a few more people here and there.
Please.
If these folks are in a region where there's just not, maybe the economy's down or just not that many access issues, they're going to be doing something else beside this, or are they absolutely going to be doing only that issue? We're asking, do you have the flexibility to move them to another area?
Yes, Senator George, members of the committee, as I understand what is being proposed with five as opposed to the 14, we will move them between workload. So if the workload comes in the door, they will be working on specific things. If they're that's not coming in the door, they'll be working on projects.
Certainly. Stand by. Senator Dukes.
It says that you have 30 permit specialists in the district offices. Are these aren't all access management permit specialists, are they? Oh, good. Doug's shaking his head at me. Okay. I was going to say, if we've already got six in each region, what the heck do you need another one for? But some of those 30 are doing access management now?
Chair George, Senator, yes.
Just in your opinion, apparently not enough of them.
We actually had an audit done by our internal auditing folks, and they're not doing the. There's enough volume that they're not keeping up with the workload.
Well, let's see, package 102. Is everybody comfortable with that? Any further questions relative to that?
Okay, we're ready now to move on to. I have that.
Oh, did we deal with that?
Yes.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where was I? Did I tap the gavel?
Yeah. You did, yeah.
I'm going to stop drinking this coffee. What's in that?
We are turning the page now to item number six, package 495. This is ratification of the outdoor advertising fee in the agency's fee bill. I recommend approval of restoring $338,600 and the two FTE.
I closed my package and I'm not lost.
It's on the back side of that one.
Yes.
Where we were, you flip over the page.
Yes.
Right there. Okay. See, I'm not the only one who's lost. Distracted.
Well, this was the piece I didn't like yesterday, Mr. Chair. I don't know. This is the fees.
Let the record show that I showed her the page even though she objected to the...
I don't know what to do with this. Maybe somebody else... I'll move it, okay. If you want me to move it, and then we can have the discussion, but I don't know what to do with it.
I'll move it.
Okay. Representative Hansen? Move policy package 495?
495. That's the one I was moving.
Okay. All right, discussion. Senator Dukes.
Mr. Chair, I might point out that the first page of the agency's handout addresses the questions that were raised about outdoor advertising.
Okay.
if that would help.
Mr. Chair, this has got two new people.
No, Mr. Chair. I mean,
it doesn't.
Senator Duke.
It doesn't.
These are existing positions that were removed in another package of the in the governor's budget and then restored in a policy package to deal with the ratification of the fee. So they're not new positions. These are existing.
What number are
with
we
people
on?
In them.
Special programs, policy package 495.
So when you... What does this mean to you?
What is your question? What
the
okay.
This is this bill, we dealt with this bill yesterday. We approved the fees for outdoor advertising. This now restores the funding for and the FTE who are processing and administering these permits.
Chief, can I ask the agency a question?
Certainly.
It's just that they perform the annual renewal process, and I was just curious as to what that process involved.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, annual renewal process in Mike Marsh from ODOT. The annual renewal process involves ensuring that the sign is as designated in terms of the size and there are no safety issues around relating to that sign. And so the site inspection is part of the process on a regular basis.
Still there?
Still there. The size is as dictated and the there are no safety issues around what occurs there. So it's 2 FTE to deal with the total number of signs that come in, and it's been operating that way in the current biennium because there was prior authority and there was a administrative rule that went through a process. The businesses involved concur and understand the issues, and it's been implemented and carried forward under the administrative rule process in the current biennium, and this is coming back through Senate Bill 333 to firm it up for the next biennium.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to quit. This is just one of those that lends itself to so many interesting comments and things. I mean, they actually do training sessions on this. So I'm going to quit now, and I'm okay with the package.
Okay, one question though that I just brought up, Mike, and that is, do we inspect the signs for structural strength? I mean, you mentioned safety. Is there a concern that it blow over on the road or something like that?
Mr. Chair, I'm not aware that we inspect the sign for structural strength. I could check with our maintenance folks on that. But what we're looking at is not the strength of the sign. It's to make sure that it's not a safety issue for the motorists.
Okay, blocking any view or anything.
Correct.
Don't give them any ideas.
That'll be the new
program.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Marsh, have you always had 2 FTE to do this, and you don't think it's going to take more FTE to do this? In raising your fees, I don't understand. And I had this question yesterday. You're raising the fees. You're not changing the number of employees or anything else.
Correct. Mr. Chair and Senator Carter, the number of employees, the cost recovery, and the fee structure was established in this last biennium on the basis of the administrative rule process and the direction of the Attorney General. So we've been operating this way since the Attorney General's opinion came down and we established a fee structure. So we're moving that program forward in the current biennium and asking for approval of that fee by the legislature now due to Senate Bill 333. In the past, that administrative rule would have occurred. Positions were previously approved, would have moved ahead and been implemented. But because of Senate Bill 333, we had to get the approval from the legislature of the fee that was established.
This might be a 101 question, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Marsh, why do you need the restoration of expenditure limitation?
Expenditure limitation for this function is needed in order to, it's a package coming forward. Without the approval of the fee and the expenditure limitation, there would not be an expenditure.
And
so they go together.
What would be the content of the package to come? You said there's a package coming?
Mr. Chair and Senator Carter, this is the package.
This is the package. Yeah. I thought you meant in addition to this.
No, there was a fee approval required in the bill, Mr. Chair and Senator Carter, and this is the package that implements that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We've done that. So we're
okay. Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions about policy package 495? Did you have an emotion? So without objection? Everybody okay? All right.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, package 489 is the Lake of the Woods Maintenance Station. This has accomplished the transfer of $1 million through the interfund transfer to the Capital Construction Program unit to pay for the construction of a new maintenance station garage. This is an interfund transfer. They're made in revenue categories, so they don't show up in your expenditure limitation, but the impact on expenditures is $1 million less available for projects, and I'm recommending approval.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Carter.
What does this mean?
This means that they're going to move $1 million from this program to capital construction for this Lake of the Woods maintenance station.
Well, where's Lake of the Woods?
Lake of the Woods is?
You guys might want to just keep. That's a comfortable chair.
Yeah,
Chair George.
The chair would recommend it. You just stay right.
Thank you, Chair George, members of the committee. Good morning, Doug Tindall, State Maintenance Engineer for the Oregon Department of Transportation. The Lake of the Woods Maintenance Station is on Oregon 140 between Medford and Klamath Falls near the summit.
A lot of snow.
Well, yeah, and this is.
Keep it open.
This is part of, yeah, it's one of those that we'll probably keep open. The
yesterday we were going to close.
There's a list of projects that ODOT has for capital construction is just part of the normal management of our buildings. We have some buildings that are in absolutely horrible condition, approaching uninhabitable. In this case, not only is it the building in bad condition, but the garages won't house some of our new equipment completely. And so this is part of a normal planned building management program.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, so move policy package number 49, Lake of the Woods Maintenance Station and Special Program.
Policy package 49?
Yes.
Been moved by Senator Carter. Are there any questions or comments about policy package number? Item number 7. If not, without objection, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item number 8, LFO package 1, has already been approved. Item number 9 is the vacant position adjustment. This eliminates 31 positions and 17.18 FTE and shifts $230,384 to temporary services. And the nature of the positions are there are about 14 student engineers, some clerical, a couple of right-of-way agents, and engineering specialists to support engineering services.
Mr. Chairman, I won't be able to support this amendment.
Okay. Representative Hansen?
Yeah, I'd like to hear from the department what they're losing with those 31 positions.
Well, guys.
Should have taken your advice.
The chair orders you to stay in those. No, ignore that. That was enough.
Thank you, Chair George, Representative Hansen. The positions that you've been discussing already in terms of the vacancies are the legislative LFO recommendation in some of those packages, relatively small adjustments. These positions in this particular package, there are, this is one of those things that's a little bit difficult to explain, but there are some maintenance employees in this particular limitation because of what they do primarily. This would also end what ODOT has had as a student engineering program where we bring in college students during the summer time. That it's possible that that can be backfilled through the use of temporaries. It also cuts out staff that would work when the positions are filled, would work on delivering the STIP and OTIA projects. So this is a another piece of the package that I think adds up to 102 FTE. Is that right, Susie? So this is another chunk of that package, and in particular on this one, those are the specific impacts.
Dick, how long has it been since those student engineers have been in place?
Last summer.
You haven't had another?
I believe that we hired student engineer trainees last summer. Mike?
Yes, and we have some hired this summer.
And we were going to hire some this summer.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the personnel office that your department said that those positions have not been filled, were not filled in the last biennium, and aren't, wouldn't be, they weren't going to be filling them.
Mr. Chair, there may be some communication issues there. It has been, those positions have been used over the last couple of biennia. There are times when they've used temporaries instead of the seasonal positions, depending on how the offers went. They've tried to fill them with seasonals because there is a more continuous use of the employee and an expectation that they come back and then grow into becoming an engineer or an employee of the department in the long term, as compared to a temporary that does not have the same level of support in terms of benefits and the continuation or expectation of continuation. You only get the 6 months commitment.
Then, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would ask the department to tell the committee how many of those positions have been filled that way.
Be happy to get that.
And also, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd also point out that out of that package, we are also increasing the program 10.29 in item number 13 in position adjustments as a part of the vacant position adjustment. So the net reduction in this program area is seven positions.
Seven FTE, I believe.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Seven FTE comes to how many positions?
I'll race you, Susie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not gonna.
I'm easy. Go ahead.
I got 17 positions.
Susie gives us the information that's been given to her, but from your perspective, as we, for the future, as we go through these policy packages where we're looking at vacant positions, could you give us your read on how many people it is and what they do? Because it appears to me that sometimes they differ. Then maybe we can sort them out.
Senator Morris?
Just sort of a sheet.
Yeah.
Not 6-7, just a sheet. Thank you.
Senator Morris?
My suggestion is to have a schedule so that you know over time what has been the history with these positions. And if, in fact, they hadn't been filled, you know.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the agency decided which positions to put on this vacancy list, and some of these positions have not been vacant very long because the ones that were provided to us in LFO in March, they had proceeded to go and move towards recruiting and filling. And in order to reach the target that the co-chairs gave, the agency used other vacant positions that had recently become vacant to do that. So that isn't a good... it's a reflection of the recent activity in that position, but it isn't of vacant positions in general.
Mr. Chair, I'm struggling with the whole target. I don't have any problem moving out positions that we haven't used in a long time, and in most of the budgets that we're seeing, it's we've got agencies who've kept the position authority and moved the money over to do something else, services and supplies or into another position or something. And it's real clear over time that they didn't really need those positions. We were just sort of using them for something else. And so clearing those kinds of things out doesn't bother me. But in this budget, it seems to me that we've been given an arbitrary amount, and even that maybe wouldn't be quite so bad if it wasn't for the fact that, on the other hand, we're trying, as a legislature, to increase the amount of funding so they can go do more projects and do all of these bridges. And I find the two somewhat inconsistent. And it's not LFO's fault because they didn't put us in this situation, but I'm struggling with being willing to clean out some of the unnecessary stuff, but at the same time make sure that if that package goes through, we've got people who can do it. And yesterday we heard testimony that the STIP is behind. We raise expectations for the public, and then we take away if we are taking away the agency's ability to meet those expectations, that concerns me. And so that's why every time I keep asking, what do they do, so that I can try for myself to sort out whether these are the extras or these are people I want to keep.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, that I will point out that the department had requested to put $230,384 back into temporaries, which has been accommodated here.
I see. As yeah, a result, and I see too. That.
And that level was given to me by them.
Okay. Representative Hanson.
Well, yeah, kind of similar vein on the vacancy issues in this budget. I've got no problems in terms of eliminating longstanding vacancies. I think that's a good exercise that we should be going through. The general fund funding crisis requires us to cut a lot deeper in a lot of agencies. This isn't a general fund agency. So I don't feel quite as compelled. And I think to meet arbitrary numbers from the co-chairs, what I'm seeing is I think we have an obligation as a committee to be very sure that in light of the fact of the amount of work that this agency has to do, that we don't cut too deep in another funded agency that keeps them from doing their mission. The other thing I'm seeing is sort of a pattern is because of the co-chair's directions on eliminating positions. I'm seeing a lot of student engineer positions here in public safety. State police dramatically reduced their number of positions by eliminating 53 police cadets. I don't know if we're really getting to the problem or we're. I don't know how productive it is in terms of eliminating part-time, seasonal student positions and transferring money for temporaries. It's going to make us look good at the end of the session to say, yeah, we've reduced all of these positions, but I don't know. I think it's more cosmetic than anything else. But I want to make sure that in trying to hit the targets, we're not impeding the agency's ability to meet the mission. And so I think this is an area that we can spend some time. Senator Morris's issue or suggestion of a schedule, and I think this is the one key element of this budget that I think we need to kind of spend the time and slog through and really understand what we're doing with it.
Senator Carter.
As a 35-year counselor, I can tell you, when you look at who we're talking about, we're basically talking about engineers who basically come from rural communities, because you find in the Portland area basically electrical engineers and that kind of stuff. But then this morning in the Statesman Journal was an article. Too bad we have miscommunication here, so I want to recognize that because I trust Susie and have known of her work ever since the first day she came here. So I know that. So somewhere along the line, some miscommunication. But my issue is this, that if we're having a brain drain in Oregon and our very brightest are leaving us, and then we take away opportunity of this nature to try to keep them in and give them a job because we are facing a very downturn in the economy, that's an ambiguous message that we're sending to our young people in college today. And somewhere along the line, we have to come to grips with the fact that we want our young, our best, and our brightest to stay in the state and have opportunity. They can't have opportunity if we keep doing stuff of this nature. Now, again, I want to reiterate, I'm sorry that there are obviously some miscommunication here, but it does not negate the fact that what we would be doing is lessening opportunity for these young people who are coming out of schools of engineering, and having the opportunity to maintain themselves in this state once they have had the experience they would have with the department. I'm an absolute no on this.
Nope. Senator Morris.
Mr. Chairman, I guess what would be important for me to know is there's a net difference here of 7. It's not 31 positions,
right.
It's 7.
17.
No, it's 7.
I did. I could have done the math wrong.
It's 7.
That's communication. Well,
am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay.
But at least my
there's
understanding, you're correct.
There's a difference of 7. Specifically, where are those 7 positions? And what has been the history of those positions? That's what would be helpful, because when you put it in that context, to me, it's a little different. It's not 31.
7 FTE, but 17 positions. I don't know.
Well, positions. The number of positions are actual bodies, people. They may only work for, you know, 1 month, 3 months, 4 months, or 6 months, whatever, and that's how the FTE piece of it gets calculated. So in terms of full-time equivalents, we're talking about a difference of 7 FTE. Numbers of people moving through those jobs is a different number, a much larger number.
Right.
And if you're talking about the student engineering program, what the department is doing is, in some cases, they're filling students in those engineering positions, and sometimes they're filling them in temporary positions, is what they're telling me. So they don't actually need the position authority to hire student engineers. They can hire them as temporaries in the program as well, and that would take the FTE off the books. So if they came back with a proposal on filling those positions with temporaries, then you could look like you've eliminated them, but not really do it.
Okay, my little finger has been bouncing up and down on the shifting the 231,000 to temporaries. Senator Carter.
Just explain to me the technicality here in terms of seasonal, temporary, student, engineer. Explain that to me.
I'll start and then go to you.
I'm anxious to hear.
You're anxious to hear.
And Mr. Chair, Mike Marsh, you have 2 minutes.
Oh, thank you. Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, the state system has been established so that there is a control on seasonal positions because there is insurance associated with those, and they are actually considered positions instead of a short-term need. The legislature has granted authority to agencies to hire a person in a temporary position for up to 6 months for a constrained series of definitions about what it's for, short-term workload and issues like that. A seasonal position is something that's coming back each year. It could be a person who helps us with snow removal, could be other issues in the summertime, parks has them for trail maintenance, that kind of thing. So it's just in a certain season, but it's needed every year. So the idea is if it's seasonal and it comes back every year, in the case we're talking about here, it's talking about interns who are used every summer to help us in our heaviest construction season to do pre and engineering work. Hopefully these are students that could come back later and become regular employees at the department. By using seasonals, we get them through seniority. Doug and other folks have come through that particular track. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad. But other people have gone through that and come to the department and been career employees and have shown their skills through that program. By having seasonals, it allows them to come in, develop seniority, be serious about the program, and come in later on. Temporaries accomplish many of the same things, but doesn't have the benefits and doesn't have the ability to show for sure that we can come back each year and there's not as much commitment because it's a temporary employee. If that's okay within the 2 minutes, I'm happy to follow up.
You can skip right over that.
I was going to say, you want to skip right over that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Item number 10, package 3, the inflation adjustment, LFO package 4, attorney general rate, and the DAS assessment have already been approved. Do you want to skip over the position adjustments as well?
Let's just go ahead and leave that. It's part of the same idea, so let's go.
And finally, LFO Package 9 is the co-chair adjustment to add limitation for the Immediate Opportunity Fund at $5 million. The Immediate Opportunity Fund is a program that works with the Economic Development Department in bringing businesses to Oregon or expanding businesses in Oregon where they have transportation projects, road projects that need to be accomplished, and they provide grants for that purpose. Historically, they've had $7.98 million in the program. The agency had initially told the Economic Development Department that they were shifting their priorities to other program areas, and the co-chairs have decided that they need to continue that program at $5 million. So,
Senator Carter.
LFO recommendation number 9, co-chair adjustment under the special program.
LFO number 9 has been moved under special programs. Any discussion, Representative Hansen?
Question for staff. Has that, what's the historical spending that's occurred under that program? You said the explanation was that the department was shifting priorities. I'm assuming it's been in place for a while. How much has been spent for that type of projects over the last couple of months?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have a list of the projects in the immediate opportunity fund in my office. I can bring that back. I do. but they have been spending about that amount.
Yeah.
And what they felt that they needed to do was to change the criteria so that more of their money, so that it was limiting the amount of money that was going to this project, so it was only state systems rather than state and local systems, which would have reduced the amount of money for immediate opportunities.
Okay. My only concern was not a concern with the money, with keeping it and meeting their recommendations. I was just concerned if it was sized correctly. And
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have worked with the Economic Development Department and the Department of Transportation to identify projects that would potentially qualify for this program.
Any further questions, Senator Dukes?
Just because of our little pause here, we're not planting flowers and trees with any of this, are we?
No.
Just checking.
Not IOF funding, no.
Okay. Doug didn't answer that right.
Chair George, Senator Dukes, I'm sorry. Immediate opportunity fund monies are used in areas where you can stimulate new businesses going in and improve the transportation system to do so.
Part of that isn't making it look prettier with trees and flowers.
Chair George, Senator Dukes,
the reason I'm
hesitating a little bit is I can't tell you that a tree or a flower has never been planted as part of one of these projects, but it's not the primary focus of the immediate opportunity fund.
You want to deal with primary? Or?
Yeah, I got the same word when he said it. It's the secondary. Now we'll find out. And
it's not a big portion of the program, if it's there at all.
Okay.
Let the record show that Senator Dukes and I both feel very strongly about loving plants and trees.
Yeah, they're great.
We love those. Are there any further questions about LFO recommendation number 9? Are we ready to do it without a objection? So moved. At this time, we're so close to 10:30. I think we better...
I could just very quickly take a conceptual approval of this budget. This is very simple, and I have no doubt that the co-chairs will approve this. The Department of Transportation shall report to the next legislative assembly each project complete with description and amount of the grant awarded under the Immediate Opportunity Funding Program.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Duke.
Forgive me. I thought this was a grant program. Who exactly are we granting to?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
There's trees and flowers in this. Never mind.
Budget notes.
Mr. Chairman, so moved the budget note.
The budget note has been recommended. Are there any questions or comments about that? If not, without objection. So moved. We will not be meeting tomorrow because we
won't. Can I get us in trouble anymore?
Yes, we're...
I'm not even going to get any more trouble than
that. No, we're trying
get
to...
Get you in trouble.
Can I get a list of the IOF projects?
Or at least my people here?
Yes.
I'm going to close the public hearing, the work session on House Bill 5056.
No, the ones
that are... I'll be adjourned. If anyone heard that, we're adjourned.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind having the potential ones.